as we go into this passage this morning, it's one of those passages that I know if I told Melissa, I said, well, the passage is Luke chapter 2, verse 49, she'd say, Steve, just one verse. And so I'm going to read a few other verses before that just to kind of to set the most of you probably know, but we're going to talk about it. I'm going to start in verse 41. It's when Jesus was just a boy. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray right now that you would speak to us. Lord, so many times I read your word and there's things I don't understand what you want to say to me. I know there's times when I stand up here and I read what you have given me and there are people out there that don't understand due to the way I deliver it or just whatever, Lord. But I pray today that we would each as individuals understand what you have for us. Lord, I pray right now that you would prepare our hearts. Lord, that we would surrender them to you for preparation. Lord, and as we open your word, as we speak today, may you be glorified and you alone. Not this church, not myself, not anybody in this building, but Lord Jesus, you alone are worthy of praise. May it always and only be about you. In your name we pray, amen. So here we find Jesus, and like the passage says, it was the custom that they would go and it would be one of those things that I'm sure would be, for my parents, a three-day vacation from me. Hey, for 3 days, I had no problems. What's the deal? Okay, there's something wrong. Where's my son? That would be me, okay? That would be my parents. But Jesus was a sinless 12-year-old. And so they weren't worrying about what mischief he got into. But we know that they had left. He stayed at the temple. And there's one verse here that God laid on my heart this week. And as I think about the parents leaving their child there for 3 days and then coming back and finding him and asking him, what are you doing? Why did you cause us all this trouble? And he answers them with this question. Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? This is a 12-year-old Jesus. And he gives us a statement here in one sentence that should change every one of our lives. It's powerful. Now we know this is Jesus, and so I'm not telling you that when you walk out of here today, you should be just like Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But I think with what we see in Jesus, if we are to be Christians, that means little Christ, Christ-like, then we need to follow His example. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to understand the things that Jesus, the statement that He makes, should teach us and change us to be more like Him. First of all, I want us to look at this. If you're taking notes and you do not have a bulletin to take those on, I was going to get some scribble pads out there so you could just color and pretend like it, but I didn't. And so if you're taking notes, the first one is he knew his identity. At 12 years old, Jesus knew he was the Son of God. At 12 years old, he knew who he was. Because he says, I must be about my Father's business. Now, earlier in that passage, his mother says, your father and I have sought you anxiously. No, I'm here doing my Father's business. Well, we all know that Joseph was a carpenter. He was not there seeking out carpentry work. He was there answering questions, asking questions. Even though the Bible tells us later on that when he gets ready to perform his first miracle, and his mother comes to him at a wedding and says that they're out of wine, and he says, woman, it's not my time yet. It wasn't time for him to present himself to people. But yet here at 12 years old, he knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew his identity. And so I start off this morning saying, do you know your identity? Because many of us don't. Now, for years, I found my identity as a coach. I found my identity as a bus driver. I would have people come up to me and I would be in Bolivar and they'd say, hey, coach, and I'd have no earthly idea who they were. And I'd look at my wife and she'd say, you don't know them, do you? And I said, no, I don't. But for 10 years, I was a coach. And so somewhat I found my identity in being a coach. And then I went to driving a bus, and I drove a route bus, and I'd have a little kid come up to me and say, Mom, this is my bus driver. And so my identity was found in their eyes as a bus driver. And so many things. I was a youth pastor for years, and that's just what people knew me as. And so I found my identity as a youth pastor. And I loved all of those things. But that's not my identity. That's not who I am. That's what I did. I want you to know your identity. Because if you find your identity in what you do, one of these days that's going to change. Well, if I'm this, I'm a teacher, I'm a data processor, I'm whatever, a truck driver. If something happens and you can no longer do that, you've lost your identity. If that's what your identity is found in. Had a lady come to this church several years back, a couple years back anyway, and her husband had passed away, and she said, I'm having trouble because I always found my identity in the fact that I was a pastor's wife. And I'm having trouble now finding my identity. Very godly woman. But was a struggle she was having. And if you're finding your identity in anybody but Jesus Christ, then you're going to struggle at some point. If you find your identity in who you are, what you're doing, then you're going to struggle. Because either other people are going to let you down or you're going to let you down. But you find your identity in Christ. And what I mean by that is the Bible tells us that to anybody that received Him, He gave the right to become children of God to those that believe in His name. And so it's not what you do. It's not who you are. It's whose you are. Because I became a child of God. And even though I was a child of God, I sought my identity in all those other things. And there are many of you sitting here today that are doing the same thing. You find your identity in what you do. And so that's what you focus on. But if you find your identity in Jesus Christ, then that's who you'll focus on. Jesus knew his identity. I am the Father's. Your identity can only come through Jesus Christ as a Christian. It can't come through anything else because everything else will let you down. and nothing else will matter apart from identity in Jesus Christ. So we have to seek and understand that identity. And it comes not from religion, not from family. I used to always think, man, it was a great thing. And I was so proud when somebody would say, well, you're Tom Ewing's son. Yes, I am. And I was so proud. But it comes down to somebody coming up to you and say, you're God's child. That's what I want to hear. That's what we should all desire to hear. Not you're a coach, not you're a teacher, not you're a bus driver, not you're a truck driver, not you're even Tom Ewing's son or whoever your parents are, child. But you are God's child if you have given your heart to Him. Because there is no greater identity than a child of God. Jesus knew His identity. Next, He knew His mission. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He knew what His Father's business was. He knew that He was called to come to this earth to be the Messiah and to be the Savior of the world. He knew what His mission was. He was about His Father's business. That's what He was supposed to be. That's who He was. That's who His identity led Him to be. His mission was to be the Savior of the world. Now, that's not our mission. That's not what God has called us to do, to save the world. So many people think we need to be out there saving the world. You can't do that, and neither can I. And if you think you're that powerful, you need to get on your knees and talk to God, because you don't have that power. What we have to understand, that our mission, that was His mission. What is our mission? We have to know our mission. If you don't know your mission, then you're probably not going to accomplish it. Well, I'm supposed to go out and talk to people about Christ. Yes, you are. But let's picture just for a moment a courtroom. And the judge brings somebody in, and the lawyer, the prosecutor comes up, and they're asking them questions. That's what we think we are. Well, you know, if I go out and talk to people about Jesus, I'm not going to know all the answers. You're not Jesus' lawyer. You're not His counsel. You're not His defender. He called you to be a witness. He didn't call you to argue for Him. He didn't call you to debate people for Him. He doesn't need that. He called us to be witnesses. The Bible tells us that we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That basically means at home, in Stockton, in Missouri, and to the ends of the earth. That's what it means. Wherever you're at, that's those circles, that's your Jerusalem, that's your Judea, that's your Samaria, that's your ends of the earth. You are to be a witness. And too many times we focus on the location when we should really focus on the witnessing. Because back to that courtroom, when you bring that person, you set them up there, what are they supposed to do? The old dragnet, some of you are old enough to remember this. Just the facts, ma'am. That's what he would say. And that's all we're asked to do. We're not supposed to be there to make up things. We're not supposed to be there to debate things. When people ask us questions, all I can say is just what I know. I am a witness to what? I am a witness to the day that Christ called me out of the choir loft to accept Him as my personal Savior. I am a witness to what He has done in my life since that time, what He does each day, what I've seen Him do in other people's lives, what the Bible has spoken to me. That's what I'm a witness of. You can't witness what I witness. Your eyes are not my eyes. Your heart is not my heart. If I'm called to witness because I accepted Christ and you are called to witness because you accepted Christ, there's a reason He has different witnesses. Because we witness different things. And he wants you to witness to other people. Tell them what you know. Tell them what you've seen. Tell them what he's done that you know he's done. That's what a witness does. But too many times we don't want to knock on a door. We don't want to talk to somebody. We don't want to interrupt some situation and ask a question because I may not be able to answer them. You're not the lawyer. You're just the witness. We have to know our mission in order to complete it. That's what he's called us to do. So he knew his identity and he knew his purpose. We need to know our identity and we need to know our mission, our purpose. But then Jesus says something else at the very beginning of that statement. I must be about my Father's business. That's a term that's urgent. Well, Jesus is 12 and he knew at 30 that his time hadn't come yet, so I'm pretty sure he probably knew at 12 his time hadn't come yet. But what does he do? He says, I must be about my Father's business. I've got to be doing right now, even though it's going to culminate later on the cross. I need to be about my Father's business right now. I've heard people say, you know, when the rapture gets ready to take place, I hope I'm standing by two non-Christians and I can just reach out and grab them. And then as we start sailing through the sky, I can say, do you want to accept Jesus now? But that same person is not saying anything today. We need to be about our Father's business today because it's urgent. Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for this many years and I know that Christ is coming back for the church, and I know that the second coming is going to happen and the rapture, and I've heard the tribulation, all those things. I've heard about all those things, and I'm secure because I know my faith in Jesus Christ. So what's so urgent? That family member that doesn't know? That coworker that doesn't know? They would think it's urgent if you told them. Well, maybe they don't want to hear it. Maybe they don't want to hear it because you don't think it's important enough to say something. You know, when somebody comes in and something is important to them, you know it by the way they act. You know it by the way they present it. Hey, I just want $1 million. Yeah, whatever. Hey, I want $1 million. It changes everything the way you present it. We present Jesus Christ like, well, yeah, I have a Savior. Yeah, my eternity is set. He's coming back for me someday. There's going to be a judgment. And that's what we look like presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why would they want that? If it doesn't excite us as Christians, why would the non-Christian want it? Jesus saw that it was urgent to live every day. Even at 12 years old, it was urgent for him to understand, to ask questions, and to give answers. 21 years or so before he would ever see the cross, it was urgent to him every day. Well, it's urgent to us on Sunday. Because I get up and I get dressed and I go to church and I stand up here behind this box and I read out of His Word and I try to convince you that it is what we need to live by. But then if I go out on Monday and it's not just as urgent, it's not just as important, then the only people that are going to think it's important to me, if they do at all, are the ones that come in here on Sunday morning. What about the people that see us during the week and it just doesn't seem very urgent to us? We need to live with urgency. So identity, our mission, the urgency, and then this last one. It's actually in the next sentence, verse 50. after he had told his parents, I must be about my father's business. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Man, I've tried to talk to people and it's just like they don't understand. We've tried to talk to people and they just don't get it. And people say, well, you know, the gospel's veiled to those that are perishing. You know, there's this argument between Calvinism and Arminianism of whether it, and I'm not going to get into that because that doesn't matter. All that matters is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented, excuse me, getting ahead of myself here. All that's what we've got to do is present the gospel. And there are going to be people that don't understand. But you know what? There was a time when I didn't understand, and there was a time when you didn't understand. But thanks be to the grace of God, I do, and you do. It's kind of like when we used to have family get-together, and I had a cousin that she would try to bring a new game every year. It's like, really? What's the point? We don't know the rules to this game. And so somebody get the rules out and try to read them, and I'm like, that's not making sense to me. You're going to have to explain to me the rules of this new game. And it would turn out some of them, not all of them, but it would turn out some of them would be a good game, and we'd play it over the years. But I would not understand that game until somebody explained it to me. There are people out there that don't know Jesus Christ because people have never explained the gospel to them. Jesus' own parents did not understand what he was saying. Now, it tells us a little later that his mother kept all these things in her heart. She began to think about these things. She began to ponder on these things at this point. And later on, she knew. But here, says she didn't understand. If Jesus' mom didn't understand, and God had spoke to her directly, she knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but she just didn't understand all this stuff yet. There are going to be people that you and I deal with that just don't understand. And it may take 21 years for them to figure it out. I don't know. But I know that we can't give up. Because people didn't give up on us. When we didn't understand, they're like, man, he is so hard-headed. He's not getting it. And then one day, God opened my eyes and I began to understand. This statement of Jesus, I must be about my Father's business. The things that he did, if we're going to be Christ-like, then that's where we need to be. So I want us to come to this understanding today of two things. One, your identity. Now there are people sitting in this congregation, I'm sure, that do not know Jesus Christ. I mean, congregation this size, the odds are astronomical that everybody here would be saved. And so there are people here that do not have an identity in Jesus Christ. There are people listening online that probably do not have an identity as a child of God. And so my heart is that you would come to know Jesus Christ and accept what he's done, believe what he's done, and ask him to forgive you of your sins. That's how you become a child of God, to put your faith in him. But don't miss this, Christians, because if you know your identity, then other people should know it as well. I can remember growing up, people would see me and say, man, you look so much like your dad. And then my oldest son, as he was growing up, I could hear people say, you look so much like your dad. But I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, "You remind me so much of Jesus." Christians, our identity should be found in Jesus Christ. These other things are blessings, don't get me wrong. But our identity as a Christian has to be found in Jesus Christ, because that's where my priorities are going to go. You may not understand, you may not know all the answers, you're not a lawyer, maybe you don't even feel like a good witness, because I don't know what to say. Christian, if you don't know what to say, then it may mean you haven't witnessed anything lately. If you haven't witnessed anything lately, then how's your relationship with God? Because I can tell you things that I have done with my friends or with my family over the last week, because I've spent time with them. And I can tell you what we did, and I can tell you their habits, and I can tell you their comments, and I can tell you about them and about what happened, because I spent time with them. Sometimes I'm not a very good witness, because all I have to go back to is when I was 21 years old and I accepted Christ. But if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ every day of my life, then there should be some way He's affecting me. And that's what I witness about. It's what He's doing now. Yes, what He's done in the past, I cannot do without. And yes, what He's going to do in the future when He comes to take me home, that's my hope. And as a Christian, every Christian should be desiring that time. But as a witness, I have to witness the things that are going on now. What has He done for you lately? And it is urgent. If you're one here that does not have an identity in Jesus Christ, the urgency is more than we all know. Because there's a day coming back when He's going to come. He's either going to split that eastern sky, or I'm going to breathe my last breath. You're going to breathe your last breath. The Bible tells us life is but a vapor which appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It's urgent that you find that identity in Jesus Christ. Well, I'll wait till I'm older. You don't have that promise. Well, I will talk to them next week. I could tell you stories of when I said that myself and the person died that week. I think about that 30 some years after it happened, still as vivid as yesterday. It's urgent. It's urgent for me as a Christian to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, whether they understand or not. It's urgent. If you've never accepted Christ, it's urgent. Whether you understand it or not, it's very urgent. So my prayer is today that we all understand our identity, our mission, the urgency of what Christ calls us to do. That's where we need to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that You do. Lord, I'm not going to repeat the sermon. They've heard it. But I pray that You move in our hearts and our minds, in our midst, that we'd understand what it is You have for each of us. God, don't let us walk out of here the same. We are here for a reason. You have brought us here. Lord, we pray that You change us. Because we will never change if You don't change us. So we ask You to do that. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.